Shall we pray before we open up the Word of God? Father, we just want to thank you for this time. We thank you for gathering people here this afternoon. And as we open up the Word, we pray, Holy Spirit, we invite you, fill our hearts, that Lord, that our hearts will be fertile soil, that the Word, the seed that will be sown this afternoon will fall on good soil so that your Word will germinate and that our lives, as we connect to you, we will see fruits, O Lord. We will bear fruit, plenty of fruits, O Lord, in our lives so that we can grow in accordance to how you want us. And that is to say in John 10:10, that I come to give you life and life abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. As you heard from Mel, she said that our pastors, both To and Maria and the team, is now in... No, they should be back. On their way back now, I guess. Yeah, on their way back. So they would have been very, very recharged by the time we see them. Next week, we will see them glowing, all right, full of God's glory. They should bring us some manna from heaven, you know, to feed us. So we're looking forward to next Sunday. We're seeing our pastors refreshed and recharged. Pastor To and Maria has asked me to talk on the topic of be emotionally healthy, all right? So we want to look and pick up a story from 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, the life of Elijah the prophet. If I would ask a question without anyone having to put up their hands, how many of us have ever gone through stress? All right, without putting our hands, I know you're all dying to put up your hands, but anyways, we all know that stress is something that we all go through. Whether you are a newborn baby, you go through stress, you know, to whether if you're 70, 80, 90, or 100, we all go through stress. And the kind of stress that we go through all depends on how we manage stress. When stress is not managed properly, we all know that then it escalates from stress to then it becomes anxiety, and then as it's not managed again, it goes into depression. I'm not a medical doctor, but I understand that stress, when our body goes through stress, lots of, you know, chemicals are being released, good or bad, not sure. But I know what it means to go through stress, and if I have someone to come and share when was the last time you were stressed, I'm pretty sure you will have something to share about that stressful moment that you went through in life. Elijah, the story that we're going to pick up from in 1 Kings 18, 19, and 20, but we won't go through all the chapters. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. If not, whip up your smartphone. Maybe it's time to pick up your Bible that's been collecting dust for the last several years. Maybe it's time to dust it and bring along with you on Sundays or even on Mondays or Tuesday when you read your Bible. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. So I won't, like I said, I won't be reading from every verse, but I'll just pick up the story from there. How to find rest amid emotional stress. That's the topic that we want to pick up from, and we hope that at the end we'll have some strategies that we can pick up from the Bible on how to manage stress. That's where we want to go. So if the control system guy, hello, thank you. If you go on next slide, and to the next slide, yes, that's good. Next one, please. So the backstory of Elijah was that he was in Mount Carmel. There was a drought for the last 3 years. There hasn't been much rain, no rain at all, actually, for 3 years. And then God came and gave a word to Elijah and he says, tell Ahab, the king, that I'm going to send some rain. Now, so Ahab got really, really cross with and called him in chapter 18. He calls Elijah the troublemaker. Oh, you're here, troublemaker. You're back. And Elijah said, yeah, I'm back. All right. So can you gather all your prophets, all those 450 prophets that worship Baal? Gather them in Mount Carmel. We're going to do a kind of like a performance, all right? Performance in the sense that you tell your God to bring forth fire, all right? And I will tell my God to bring forth fire and see whose God will be listening and whose God will actually deliver the fire. And the story goes on, and obviously at Mount Carmel, and then the 450 prophets of Baal, and then there's another 400 prophets that of Asherah, they all came and gathered, and they were calling on their God to bring forth fire. And then if you read on the story, Elijah was even taunting them. He said, hey, look, what happened to your God? Is he still asleep? Is that afternoon cat nap or what? Wake up. You know, maybe you should shout louder. Maybe he's taking a bath or a shower. I don't know. And then they tried. They continued. They slashed themselves. They were crying really loud. But then they couldn't get their God to send for fire. And that's where Elijah stood up and said, all right, this is my turn. All right. So he stepped aside and he told them, look, for now, you either choose, do not be double-minded, you either choose your God or my God. I paraphrase that. So he got them to set up the altar, put 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He dug a deep, a trench, you know, where he, big enough for a bonfire, gathered the wood, put them all there, and then got the meat cut up, and it says, time to call on fire. But then before he did that, he says, bring me jars of water. Now, we know that they've gone through a famine or a drought. Water will be a very precious commodity. But it says, you want to see what God wants to do, you got to bring the best. What costs you nothing is not really a sacrifice. But if you want to bring something to offer unto God, it has to cost you something. And it says, pour the water and drench the whole wood. And we're going to see how God will bring down fire. And so he went on the story, 1 Kings 18, verse 44, 46, he says, So he called on the fire, and then the fire came down and literally consumed and turned that into a barbecue pit. You know, it's got the meat got roasted. They had their oven, pizza, everything was all there. But the key is this. When Elijah saw what God did in Mount Carmel, he told Ahab, he says, look, the rain is coming. I'm gonna just speed up a few more verses. He says, he told Ahab, look, the rain is coming. You need to run. You need to go home. Go back to Jezreel. And then he gave him a command and he went back. Now, this is where I want to pick up the story from here onwards. 1 Kings 18, 44, 46. So Elijah said, Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. This is a moment, I mean, of all the miracles, if I was Ahab, that last one was the best miracle for me because I love running, you know. So imagine God for a moment here and he made you a speedy Gonzalez. It's like you can then run so fast that you're even faster than the chariots. That to me was amazing. I mean, I love running and I wish God would just give me once. Give me the superpower and let me finish the marathon and be a champion or whatever it is. I that would have been a defining moment for me. But look at what happened next. The next chapter goes on in verse 19. In chapter 19, it says, so Jezebel is the wife of Ahab. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. And remember, chapter 18, there was a big spectacular. It's one of the best. If someone were to make a movie, that would be the best scene to make, all right? So in chapter 19, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, says, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow, even if it's 24 hours, I do not make your life like that of one of them, one of the prophets that was being slaughtered. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. How did a man who saw the power of God, saw the anointing of God on him in chapter 18, and then turned so afraid in chapter 19. How can a man of God, who a prophet, who have seen so many miracles being done in him and through him, with the power of the Holy Spirit in him, yet because of one person, Jezebel, saying, this time, tomorrow, if he's not dead, all right, or rather he'll make him dead meat within the next 24 hours. And that sent Elijah freaking out. Have we ever been told something in our life and that shakes our confidence? Can you remember the day when Joshua was in the book of Joshua, we saw how God had to tell Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And what did he tell Joshua? Be strong and very courageous. Why? Confidence is very important. Confidence is what the devil will always try to rob us from. When we lose confidence, we lose courage. And I pray that today, if someone has ever spoken over our lives, just one line or one phrase, and have shaken or robbed you of that confidence, I pray God will restore, you will find faith in God again. And may God restore that confidence in all of us so that we will have that confidence and the courage to rise up and face all the stresses in life with God's power, God's wisdom. As we move along from here, I want to show you some of the strategies God gave to Elijah. There's another slide before that. So we probably heard before, fear is false evidence appearing real. Now, if you think about what Jezebel said, 24 hours, I'm going to kill you. Now, you just remember, in 18, Elijah was able to run. He was probably the fastest man on earth at that point of time. There's no way within 24 hours, Jezebel could have caught up with him if he had used his power and ran away from him. There's no way within 24 hours they would have caught up and killed him. But he has allowed fear to come into his life. And when fear comes into our life, it opens a door for all sorts of unhealthy, toxic thoughts to run through our mind. Do not let fear, because when fear comes in, it opens up a door for all sorts of thoughts that are negative. It robs us away from trusting God to trusting in our own strength. And when we start trusting our own strength, then we realize that there's no way. There's no way, but in God, He is the way. So just remember that fear is false evidence appearing real, but faith is full assurance in the heart, full assurance in the Lord. And we need to remind ourselves that when we start to have our faith shaken or confidence being shaken, we need to restore faith back in us. And then we see how Elijah then went on from fear, and then he went on to suicidal thoughts. In 1 Kings 19, 3-5 says this, Elijah was so afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he was himself, he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I had enough, he told the Lord. And he says, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Again, when you have your confidence eroded from us, when we allow toxic thoughts to reign in us, that is when we start having irrational thoughts and we even contemplate committing suicide. Again, I don't want to ask anyone to put up your hands, but I pray that if today, if you have ever had suicidal thoughts before, or even at this moment, you're still having suicidal thoughts, may I encourage you, lean on God again. Let God restore that confidence in us so that we will have that hope all over again. So what did God do? Remember this word, rest. R-E-S-T. R-E-S-T. So we're going to pick up, this is the four-letter word R-E-S-T is what we're going to lean on or use that as a strategy to help us manage stress. The first one, rest. Pray that you will learn to relax and retreat. That's the first thing. If you're stressed, learn to rest and retreat and draw margins for yourself. You got to allow yourself to say, I need to pull myself out from the situation and hit the pause button and let God reset everything in our lives. That is a time where you retreat. We relax. Read the Word of God. Reach out to a friend. Because Elijah reacted to the comment made by Jezebel. Being reactive doesn't help us at all. In fact, when we are reactive, most likely we end up having to say sorry or apologize. But when we hit the pause button, take a few deep breaths, or even just to take a while to just walk away, it's a good chance that when you come back, your head gets cleared and you will be able to respond to a situation. Think about it. When was the last time you end up having to apologize to your husband or wife? It's most likely at a time when you were reactive to a comment made or reactive to a situation, and therefore you had to go back and apologize. But if you had responded by giving thought to it, it is a high chance that your response will be a lot more positive and more constructive than being reactive. Mark chapter 6 verse 31 says this, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, and he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So this is in the context where Jesus was busy in his early days of his ministry, and he got so busy that Jesus had to take a break. And he said to them, he pulled his disciples away. He says, take a break. We all need to go to a quiet place and get some rest. Mark chapter 14, 33, verse 35 says this, "He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he said to them, stay here and keep watch. And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him." And this is the time, this in the context is where Jesus was approaching to his crucifixion time. Jesus was troubled, his distress. Well, how did he do? He didn't react. If he had reacted to the whole thing, we might not have Good Friday. We might not be talking about Easter Sunday. But he pulled himself and be quiet in the presence of his Father. You see, when we go through distress or stressful moments, remember the first letter, R, of the word rest. Relax, retreat. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to God. Read the Bible. Take some time before you give a response to the situation or to a person. Next one, E. I love this one. I love the E because it talks about eating and exercising. There is a strategy that God used on Elijah, and it says this. 1 Kings 19:6-8 says, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread. I believe it's some scones, and over the hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened him by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Have you ever been in that situation whereby you're so stressed or too much anxiety in you that you have no appetite to eat? And when you don't have the appetite to eat, what happens? You get a little bit more weak and faint. And some people might end up having gastric problems and so on and so forth. There is a reason. I believe God wants us to understand that in a time of stress or depress, or when you're feeling so much anxiety, or you have lost all appetite, pick up yourself and say, no, I need to nourish my body. Have something to eat. Have something to eat, because that's what God did for Elijah. God didn't get up and eat. And why I say exercise, and he made Elijah walk 40 days. That's a long walk. You know, I believe there is a reason for, without having to discuss the spiritual reason why he had walked 40 days. But he got him to walk away from the situation to Horeb to meet God. And that's the principle behind it. The principle is this. When you are in that situation, you need to get up and move away. Clear your head. Walk away from the situation so that and run to God or walk to God and let God clear our head. So eat well and exercise. I believe that walking itself is a form of exercise. And I hope that if you are stressed or when you are stressed, take a moment, eat well, start doing your walks. It helps. It helps to clear our head. It helps to clear our mind as we do those walking. S, we talk about speaking, being still with God, stand up and see. He says this in verse 1 Kings 19:10-11 says this, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this is where God actually got him to the place, and then God asked him this question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. That's not true, but then he says, I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord says, go out, stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So the third letter of the word rest, God asked Elijah a question. And I believe one way to cope and manage stress is to speak up. Learn how to articulate what is troubling us. Learn to talk to God about what's trouble, because our Father is not an old man or elderly man up in on a throne with a baseball bat. Here tells us that our Heavenly Father is interested in us, and He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear what you are going through. Articulate it. Bring it forth to God, because He says, what are you doing here? It's like saying, tell me. Tell me what's going on. I want to hear. Speak. Tell Him. Tell your father. Tell a friend, someone that you're close with, and share and articulate. Don't bottle everything to yourself. Learn to share. And then he says this, the Lord said to him, go out and stand on the mountain. Again, God got him to leave after walking for 40 days. Heard from God, and what did God say is, go out. Keep moving. To get out of stress, we cannot be stagnant and just be focused in our own problem. We got to keep moving where God will direct us. But if you keep focusing only on your problem, you can't get out. We need to move, and we need to let God direct our steps. As we make that move, God is drawing us away from the situation. Go out, stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord. Seek Him, be still. So resting is not just doing nothing. It's doing nothing, but also doing something. And doing the something is seeking the Lord. It's being still is not just being still, but being still waiting upon the Lord with anticipation. And the last one, T. we need to watch our self-talk. That is one of the key things that I hope that you remember. Watch what we say to ourselves. Because when we don't articulate it out and we just speak in our own mind, sometimes the toxicity of it that goes into our head is actually what we say to ourselves. We need to examine what goes on in our head or in our heart. We need to be very careful to arrest those thoughts that goes in our mind and our heart, because the negative stuff that we speak to ourselves, that becomes sometimes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Or sometimes we have such negative thoughts, just like Elijah, he says, I'm the only one left. No, you're not the only one left. Because Obadiah in chapter 18 says, hey, look, I've kept 100 prophets, 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. But then when he said to God, I am the only one left, it's sometimes a victim mentality starts to play in our head. Be careful what we say. Watch our language. Because the Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. We can choose to speak life, and we can also choose to speak death into our own life or to our own family. So I pray that you will start to examine what we say to ourselves. And it's time to trust God, submitting to God's sovereignty. He says this, 1 Kings chapter 19 again, Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire came a gentle whisper. And then God asks this question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? You know the song, I believe there's a song by Earth, Wind and Fire. I don't know whether they got the name from here, but God was showing us something. Or God was showing Elijah something. The earthquake, the wind and the fire, it's like showing to Elijah, look, with all the power that I have here, it's to remind us that in times of trouble that we're going through, when our hearts are troubled, look to God. Remind yourself. You got to remind ourselves. The awesome power of God's hand. Because when we miss that, when we miss the power of God, we miss on His power to deliver us from the problem. And when we miss on the power of His power to deliver us, then we waddle in our own problem and we think we are in a rut and we can't get out. But then we see the sovereignty, the love and the grace of God, that in the midst of all those earth-moving spectacular effects, it was that gentle whisper that came. What are you doing here? Again, God showing, Elijah, this is a loving Father who cares for you. This is the Father that we serve, where we call Abba Father. That Father that we serve, that we call God, that we call Jesus the Messiah, He's interested in us. He's so interested in us that even Elijah, 1 minute in chapter 18, saw the power of God, and next minute, in chapter 19, saying, I'd rather die. That same man, God says, I'm not finished with you yet. God is not finished with us. And never ever feel that we have let down. We have been a let down to God. Despite of all our failures and shortcomings, our God is a God who will speak that gentle whisper to us. What are you doing here? not because he's questioning you, but he's interested in what's happening in our life. And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars. And this is the same reply that he replied the very first time. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. We see the grace of God comes straight away in verse 15 and 16. Says, then the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus, where you will get, when you get there, anoint Hazael king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, the king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel and Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. God pull you out, or pull Elijah out, and then he sends him back. You see, when we have an unfinished mission, and we are stressed and feeling burnout, God pulls you out. God wants you to come out, get recharged, and then he sends you back again. And that's the grace of God. He never says, you are a failure. I think you're suffering from bipolar or whatever it is. No. God restores. And then he sends him back on his mission. It's okay to rest. It's okay to have the retreat. But be careful that when we say we rest, don't be resigned to the things that God wants to do. You can have your break, but don't resign yourself from what God wants to do in our lives. Because God sent Elijah back on his mission again. That is the grace of God. That's how God works. God is a God of hope. In John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. How did Jesus, this is to give you the context, this is a time when Jesus was telling his disciples that he'll be taken, or he'll be crucified, and he'll be no longer with them. And their hearts were troubled. And how did Jesus comfort them? By turning them back to the Father and says, look, I'm not leaving you guys. There's an eternal hope that's coming. And he got them to fix their eyes on God, on what the Father has prepared for us. And the last one to remember is the God of peace. We can talk about grace, talk about hope. And this is the part, the peace of God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. So you got to understand, there was wild mass persecution going on that time. People were dragging out those who are called followers of Jesus. The doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Peace be with you. So simple. But I encourage you to utter these words, peace of the Lord be with you. It's powerful. You know, don't make it into a cliche, but mean it and say there is power in the Word of God. And when you say peace to a situation, peace to your heart, peace to a person, and say peace of the Lord be with you, mean it. And I really believe, I mean, Jesus said that. Peace be with you. And if Jesus said that, and those few words, the four words, peace be with you, was all he said to a group of disciples who were terrified, petrified. And his first words to them is, peace be with you. I pray that we will all learn to share this peace of God be with you. And so that we can steal the storm in our life. As I'm going to wrap up and I get the musicians. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 to 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, let me read that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I don't understand. When you utter those words, the peace of God be with you. There is something in it. It's because it's not the peace that I give you, because I can't give you any peace. I'll probably bring more problems in your life. But when you call on the peace of God, it transcends all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that we will learn to rejoice when we rest. I hope you will bring our prayers and our requests when we hit the rest button. I pray that you will all learn to tap on the peace of God and speak to the peace of God to one another when we hit the rest button. Because when we rest in the Lord refreshes us. He recharges us. He brings calm, restores calm again in our lives. He redirects and reorder and hit the reset button in our lives. So, as we pray, and in closing, I just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, continue to do the work in us. And we know that in our hearts, everyone here is your precious child. And I pray, God, that you will cause our hearts to just lean on you right now, Holy Spirit. You know who is going through what. And I pray, Father, that you will bring that rest, the Sabbath rest in our hearts this afternoon. In Jesus' name.